26. The Voice of Rama. The real magnitude of his adventure did not hit Jimmy Pack until he reached the coast of the Cylindrical Sea. Until now, he had been over known territory. Barring a catastrophic structural failure, he could always land and walk back to base in a few hours. That option no longer existed. If he came down in the sea, he would probably drown, quite unpleasantly, in its poisonous waters. And even if he made a safe landing on the southern continent, it might be impossible to rescue him before Endeavor had to break away from Rama's sunward orbit. He was also acutely aware that the foreseeable disasters were the ones most unlikely to happen. The totally unknown region over which he was flying might produce any number of surprises. Suppose there were flying creatures here who objected to his intrusion. He would hate to engage in a dogfight with anything larger than a pigeon. A few well-placed pecks could destroy Dragonfly's aerodynamics. Yet, if there were no hazards, there would be no achievement, no sense of adventure. Millions of men would gladly have traded places with him now. He was going not only where no one had ever been before, but also where no one would ever go again. In all of history, he would be the only human being to visit the southern regions of Rama. Whenever he felt fear brushing against his mind, he could remember that. He had now grown accustomed to sitting in mid-air with the world wrapped around him. Because he had dropped 2 kilometers below the central axis, he had acquired a definite sense of up and down. The ground was only 6 kilometers below, but the arch of the sky was 10 kilometers overhead. The city of London was hanging up there near the zenith. New York, on the other hand, was the right way up, directly ahead. "Dragonfly," said Hub Control, "you're getting a little low, 2,200 meters from the axis." "Thanks," he replied. "I'll gain altitude. Let me know when I'm back at 20. This was something he'd have to watch. There was a natural tendency to lose height, and he had no instruments to tell him exactly where he was. If he got too far away from the zero gravity of the axis, he might never be able to climb back to it. Fortunately, there was a wide margin for error, and there was always someone watching his progress through a telescope at the hub. He was now well out over the sea, pedaling along at a steady 20 kilometers an hour. In 5 minutes, he would be over New York. Already, the island looked rather like a ship, sailing forever round and round the cylindrical sea. When he reached New York, he flew a circle over it, stopping several times so that his little TV camera could send back steady, vibration-free images. The panorama of buildings, towers, industrial plants, power stations, or whatever they were, was fascinating, but essentially meaningless. No matter how long he stared at its complexity, he was unlikely to learn anything. The camera would record far more details than he could possibly assimilate, and one day, perhaps years hence, some student might find in them the key to Rama's secrets. After leaving New York, he crossed the other half of the sea in only 15 minutes. Though he was not aware of it, he had been flying fast over water, but as soon as he reached the south coast, he unconsciously relaxed, and his speed dropped by several kilometers an hour. He might be in wholly alien territory, but at least he was over land. As soon as he had crossed the great cliff that formed the sea's southern limit, he panned the TV camera completely around the circle of the world. "Beautiful," said Hub Control. This will keep the mapmakers happy. How are you feeling?
I'm fine. Just a little fatigue, but no more than I expected. How far do you make me from the pole?
15.6 kilometers.
Tell me when I'm at 10. I'll take a rest then. And make sure I don't get low again. I'll start climbing when I've 5 to go.
20 minutes later, the world was closing in upon him. He had come to the end of the cylindrical section and was entering the southern dome. He had studied it for hours through the telescopes at the other end of Rama, and had learned its geography by heart. Even so, that had not fully prepared him for the spectacle all around him. In almost every way, the southern and northern ends of Rama differed completely. Here was no triad of stairways, no series of narrow, concentric plateaus, no sweeping curve from hub to plain. Instead, there was an immense central spike, more than 5 kilometers long, extending along the axis. 6 smaller ones, half the size, were equally spaced around it. The whole assembly looked like a group of remarkably symmetrical stalactites hanging from the roof of a cave, or, inverting the point of view, the spires of some Cambodian temple set at the bottom of a crater. Linking these slender, tapering towers, and curving down from them to merge eventually in the cylindrical plain, were flying buttresses that looked massive enough to bear the weight of a world. And this, perhaps, was their function, if they were indeed the elements of some exotic drive units, as had been suggested. Jimmy approached the central spike cautiously, stopped pedaling while he was still 100 meters away, and let Dragonfly drift to rest. He checked the radiation level and found only Rama's very low background. There might be forces at work here that no human instruments could detect, but that was another unavoidable risk.
"What can you see?"
Hub Control asked anxiously.
"Just Bighorn. It's absolutely smooth, no markings, and the point's so sharp you could use it as a needle. I'm almost scared to go near it." He was only half joking. It seemed incredible that so massive an object should taper to such a geometrically perfect point. Jimmy had seen collections of insects impaled upon pins, and he had no desire for his own dragonfly to meet a similar fate. He pedaled slowly forward until the spike had flared out to several meters in diameter, and stopped again. Opening a small container, he rather gingerly extracted a sphere about as big as a baseball and tossed it toward the spike. As it drifted away, it played out a barely visible thread.